लेट्स स्टार्ट। नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। So thank you all very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita with the Saratha Varshini commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, which is Bhagavad Gita commentary. So the third chapter is titled Karma Yoga, and that's what we have been discussing from. So this third chapter starts with Arjuna's confusion, because in the previous chapter Krishna gave instructions on Jnana Yoga also, and he glorified Jnana Yoga, and he also described the symptoms of a Sthita Pragya, who is a qualified Jnana Yogi. And at the same time he seemed to indicate to Arjuna to fight also and perform your duty. So Arjuna is confused, to say he's confused, thinking if you clearly say that Jnana Yoga is higher than Karma Yoga, then why are you asking me to do Karma Yoga? You should be asking me to do Jnana Yoga, right? So I don't understand. On one side you say Jnana Yoga is superior, and on the other side you say that do Karma Yoga. So matlab, why there is no consistency in your instruction? Because if Jnana Yoga is superior, then you should be recommending me to do Jnana Yoga, but you are asking me to fight and perform my duty. I don't understand what exactly I'm supposed to do, right? So that is what now Arjuna says. Jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana tatkim karmani ghore mam niyojayasi keshava. Te mata, in your opinion, O Arjuna, karmanaha buddhihi jayasi chet. If buddhi is superior to karma, buddhi, by buddhi Arjuna understands, it refers to jnana. If jnana is superior to karma, O Janardana, kim mam niyojayasi tat ghore karmani, then why you are engaging me in this kind of terrible action, O Keshava? So we saw in this discussion, we saw that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says that Nishkama Karma Yoga is described here in this chapter, and later also the discrimination that needed to overcome lust, the description on lust and how one can overcome lust, that will be described in this chapter. So we saw the difference between Sakama Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga and Bhakti. So Sakama Karma Yogi performs his Varnashram activities for sense gratification, and what does he do with the fruits? He wants to enjoy the fruits. Whereas a Nishkama Karma Yogi, he performs Varnashram duties. He performs Varnashram duties for purification initially, but eventually liberation. But and he offers the material fruits to Krishna. He wants, in return, he wants liberation. He offers the material fruits to Krishna. Whereas a Bhakti Yogi, he performs devotional activities for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. And whatever material results comes, he accepts it as mercy. Okay. So this is what we were discussing anyway. But in this verse, Arjuna is asking, if you think buddhi is superior to karma, then why you are engaging me in karma? And at some point, Krishna also mentioned that that bhakti is superior to all the practices. Punya Vishaya Vedan Nispraguna Bhavarjuna, he said. So what exactly you want me to do? Do you want me to perform jnana by utilizing my intelligence, or do you want me to perform karma? So in this way, he is addressing Krishna as Janardana. Ardana means pain, Jana means one's own associate. Oh, Janardana means, oh, one who gives pain to his own associate. Oh, Krishna, you are giving pain to your own associate. But even though you give pain to your own associate, but I don't have a choice, he says. Because you are Keshava. Keshava means, Kaha means Brahma, Isha means Lord Shiva, and Vaha means one who controls, Vayase. So Keshava means one who controls even Brahma and Shiva. If you are the one who controls Brahma and Shiva, then for you to control me is very easy. It is not difficult at all. I don't have a choice. I have to follow you. But I am feeling pain. Talk. This is very equivocal talking. So he says, Vyamishrenaiva Vakyena Buddhim Mohaya Sivame Tad Ekam Vada Nischitya Yena Shreyoham Apniyan. He says, by this, while you are glorifying jnana and asking me to do karma, this is a very double talk. Why you are engaging in this kind of double talk? So can't you tell me just one thing? Tad ekam vada nischitya. Please speak clearly. Yena aham shreya apnivan, by which I want to attain the highest benefit. Okay. So should I do karma or jnana? Tell me. So Arjuna's question is, if bhakti is superior, or if nishkama karma yoga, if jnana is superior, then why are you asking me to engage in this ghastly warfare? Okay. So this is very very unclear, because in so many verses he glorifies jnana and bhakti, which both do not involve necessarily performance of one's varnashram duties. But suddenly Krishna is telling, oh, karmanyavadikaraste mam phaleshu kadachana, do your varnashram prescribed duties, but do not get attached to the fruits. What exactly you want me to do? Tell me one thing very clearly. So, Krishna answers in this chapter. He says, the third verse, understand, O Arjuna, lokesmin dvivida nishta purapamayana jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yogina. My dear Arjuna, maya pura prokta dvivida nishta asmin loke. The previous spoke instructions to two categories of people. Instructions in the shastras should be understood only to be in terms of one's adhikar or qualification. Just because an instruction is there in the shastra, one should not think that instruction is meant for oneself, because the instructions are not like that. Actually, recently we were discussing in I think Brihad Bhagavatamrita session, and there one of the devotees asked, Prabhu, Krishna is speaking so much about importance of practicing one's own prescribed duty. He speaks about importance of performing one's own varnashram duty. But all of a sudden, he sort of trashes it also. So he says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. He says, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam. Just give up all this and just surrender unto me. So then why describe in detail about all this karma and all these things if eventually Krishna wants Arjuna to give it up. So if that is the ultimate instruction, why these other instructions which are contradictory to that instruction? So the point is, we have to understand that different instructions are meant for differently qualified people. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja is an instruction which is meant for a person who is qualified for bhakti yoga. It is not meant for a person who is qualified for nishkama karma yoga or jnana yoga. So the instruction which is meant for nishkama karma yogi is karmanyevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phala heturbhur mate sambhosto karma. That verse is meant for a nishkama karma yogi. So therefore, the devotee was asking that if ultimately Krishna wanted Arjuna only to only to give up everything, including Varnashram Dharma, and just surrender unto him, then why glorify Nishkama Karma Yoga in Bhagavad Gita and give so many other such instructions? He could have directly told Arjuna that just surrender unto me. Huh? So this is where we have to understand that Arjuna is not the target audience of Bhagavata at all. Huh? So we had discussed this many times before. Huh? Arjuna is not the target audience of Bhagavad Gita. Huh? So the target audience of Bhagavad Gita are some Sakama Karma Yogis, some Nishkama Karma Yogis, some Jnana Yogis, some Ashtanga Yogis, and some Bhakti Yogis. Huh? And practicing Bhakti Yogis, right? So Arjuna is not a practicing Bhakti Yogi. Arjuna is certainly not a Karma Yogi, not a Jnana Yogi, not a Ashtanga Yogi, and not a practitioner Bhakti Yogi also. He is a perfected Bhakti Yogi. He is a Nitya Siddha. And Nitya Siddhas don't act according to instructions. Nitya Siddhas act according to their spontaneous devotion. So Arjuna does not have to act, he does not need any instructions, right? So why is Krishna asking Arjuna sometimes to perform his Varnashram duties and sometimes he's asking him to give it up? So the point is, Arjuna is just a one person who is used as a prototype Nishkama Karma Yogi, prototype Jnana Yogi, prototype Ashtanga Yogi, prototype Sadhaka Bhakti Yogi, and all of these. And within that, there is also Arjuna is used as a prototype Karma Mishra Bhakta, prototype Jnana Mishra Bhakta, prototype Yoga Mishra Bhakta, and all these instructions are given to one person. While he is none of them, he is none of these practitioners actually. He is a perfected devotee, Nitya Siddha. So why is he telling means, you have to see that in Arjuna, there are 7-8 different personalities, hypothetical personalities, to whom, so through Arjuna, he is giving instructions to all these different varieties of, who have different types of adhikar or qualification. That is exactly what Krishna is telling here, because the question is about karma or jnana. Tell me one clearly. So therefore, Krishna says that, look, the instructions that I gave in the previous chapter, the instructions which you say are contradictory or are quite different instructions, those were meant for two different categories of people. Lokesmin vivida nishta pura prokta mayanaga. In the previous chapter, whatever I spoke as two seemingly contradictory instructions were for different people. Jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. So there are these two qualified people, are one category who are qualified for jnana and another category who are qualified for nishkama karma yoga. Jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. Okay. So there are these two types of people who are qualified. So therefore, we saw that that you know there are various levels. First is a materialist. A materialist is one who wants to whimsically enjoy in this material world, without following any rules and regulations, without following any shastras. But when such a materialist accepts the shastras for his enjoyment, then he becomes a sakama karma yogi. So he wants to accept enjoyment that is sanctioned by the shastra. Okay. So he wants to accept enjoyment that is sanctioned by the shastras. So that is sakama karma yogi. But when he accepts enjoyment as sanctioned by the shastras, and gradually there is some purification, and by that purification he comes to the level of slowly developing an attraction for a higher goal of liberation. Okay, a higher goal of liberation. So therefore, but still within his heart there is attraction to material goals. But those attraction to material goals, he is willing to give up for developing, for achieving liberation. So therefore, a Nishkama Karma Yogi, you can say he is like a Jnana Yogi Sadhaka. He's a Jnana Yogi Sadhaka. What is the difference between a Bhakti Sadhaka and a Bhakti Yogi Siddha? For a Bhakti Yogi Sadhaka, his heart is filled with lot of anarthas. Even though his goal is Krishna Prema or to establish a relationship with Krishna, but there are so many obstacles in his heart in the form of material attachments. Similarly, a Nishkama Karma Yogi, his goal is liberation, just like the Jnana Yogi's goal is also liberation. Both have the same goal, whereas a Nishkama Karma Yogi's heart is filled with lot of other desires in the form of anarthas, which he has to cleanse by the process of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Then he becomes qualified for Jnana Yoga. Actually, a Nishkama Karma Yogi and a Jnana Yogi have the same goal, just that one is a sadhaka, another is a siddha. Right? So there is a very strong parallel. There is a very strong parallel on the path of liberation and on the path of so let us see. There is a strong parallel between the path of liberation and bhakti. Okay. So in liberation, the Sakama Karma Yogi, on the path of liberation, the Sakama Karma Yogi is equivalent to the sadhaka. Okay. And the Jnana Yogi is equivalent to the Prema Bhakta. Okay. And the liberated soul is equivalent to that person who has joined Krishna's entourage. Okay. So he has, after achieving prema, he has gone back home, back to Godhead, and joined Krishna's entourage. So there is a parallel actually. So the sadhaka, the prema bhakta, and the person who has joined the Krishna's entourage are on the same path. Similarly, the sakama karma yogi, jnana yogi, these are not two different paths in one sense. They are actually two levels of the same path. While sakama karma yoga is the stage where anartha nivritti is not yet accomplished, whereas jnana yoga is the stage where anartha nivritti is already accomplished. Okay. So therefore, a materialist, when he accepts shastras for enjoyment, he becomes a sakama karma yogi. And when the sakama karma yogi becomes detached from material fruits, he becomes detached from material fruits, but his heart is still not free of the anarthas. The desire to enjoy in this material world is there, but that is there in the form of anarthas. It's no longer a goal. He sees those as obstacles to attaining his goal, liberation. But by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, which means performing his Varnashram duties with detachment, his heart becomes purified and he becomes a Jnana Yogi. And the Jnana Yogi is now fit to meditate on Brahman. He meditates on Brahman and eventually becomes qualified for liberation. Right? So this is the thing. So basically, Krishna says that, my dear okay, there is a question here. Is a Sakama Karma Yogi Kanishta Adhikari, Nishkama Karma Yogi Madhyama Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari is Jnana Yogi, is that fine? No, not exactly. You can't exactly say like that, because a Sakama Karma Yogi has a different goal actually. But in the bhakti parlance, the Ishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, Uttamadhikari, all three have the same goal. And also these definitions of Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari and Uttamadhikari, they vary from book to book. Okay. So there is no, even in drawing parallels, this is not an exact parallel. You cannot draw, this parallel is not right because, because a Sakama Karma Yogi is a different category only. He's, for him, material desires are not anarthas. For him, material desires are goals. Whereas for a Sakama Karma Yogi, material desire is his goal. For a Nishkama Karma Yogi, liberation is his goal. For a Jnana Yogi, liberation is his goal. Whereas for a Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, Uttamadhikari, for all three of them, prema is their goal. So you cannot draw that kind of parallel exactly here. Of course, this definition of Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama also, it varies from book to book. That's a whole different discussion. We can take that up a little later. So, anyway. So therefore, he says that there are two categories of, I gave these two different types of instructions for two different people, Arjuna. These instructions were not for the same person. And it's not that I am giving you a choice. Choose between karma and jnana. No, not like that. I am seeing what is your qualification. What is your qualification? How pure is your heart? Is your heart purified of that desire to enjoy in this material world? If your heart is purified of anartha, then you are qualified for jnana. And those instructions which I gave for the jnana yogi are meant for you. But if your heart is not yet purified, you know, the instructions on jnana yoga is not meant for you. That is what Krishna is telling here. So, those who are qualified for jnana, it is mentioned, what is the qualification of a person who is qualified for jnana? Tani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matpara vashehi yasyendriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. Okay. So, that yogi who is devoted to Krishna, of course, means his practice of jnana should have the element of bhakti. That's what it means. Okay. So, he is able to perfectly restrain all his senses and he will absolutely not respond to any object of sense gratification. Okay. And that is a person who is qualified for jnana yoga. But for those who are not able to ascend to the platform of knowledge because of impurities of the heart, there is a means to ascend to that platform, and that is Nishkama Karma Yoga. So only by Nishkama Karma Yoga can one become qualified for Jnana Yoga. Without practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga, one cannot become qualified for Jnana. Okay. So therefore, he says, the verses like, Karmanyevadikaraste mafaleshu kadachana, that is meant for those people whose goal liberation, but whose heart is not yet purified of the desire to enjoy in this world. So for such people, the path that is recommended is Nishkama Karma Yoga. So therefore, when I told you, Arjuna, Karmanyevadikaraste mafaleshu kadachana, I was telling you because because your heart is not yet purified of material desires. Your heart is not cleansed of material vasanas. And the means of purifying those material vasanas is for you to practice your varnashram duties. That is why I told. Otherwise, I am still telling jnana is superior, but you are not qualified for it. Just because it is superior, that does not mean, you are qualified for it. Right? So he says, na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushoshnute na cha sanyasana deva siddhim samadigacchati. Without performance of prescribed karmas, a person cannot attain purity. And just by renunciation of activities, impure person cannot attain perfection. So, he is telling, one thing we have to understand, there is a jnana yoga is synonymous with sannyas. Okay. And sannyas, the traditional sannyas means karma sannyas. Sannyas means to give up. What does he give up? He gives up karma. So why does a jnana yogi give up karma? I want you to answer this question. Why does a jnana yogi give up karma? Would anyone like to answer this question? I have already answered it. You just have to state it back again. What is the role of karma and why does a jnana yogi give up karma? If you answer this question right, you have understood what we have discussed till now. Can you please answer this question? Why does a jnana yogi give up karma and what is the role of karma? Yes, Sachi Prandro.
So he is already, the jnana yogi is already detached from this world. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to remove all the anarthas to practice.
He wants to remove or anarthas are already removed?
Anarthas are already gone, Prabhuji, at the jnana yogi stage. Completely gone.
Okay. So that's why he gives up karma.
Yeah.
So what is the role of karma? What is the role of karma?
Purification of the heart.
Correct. Yeah. So purification of heart is the purpose of jnana, purpose of karma. Okay. And because by practice of karma, his heart has already become purified. He is qualified for jnana. So therefore, a jnana yogi need not perform his varnashram duties because the purpose is achieved. Right? So he says, na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushoshnute. So Krishna is telling, because Arjuna may say, hey, you know what? Ye jo sannyasi log hai, the sannyasis, they don't perform any activity. Okay, and their heart is very pure. Okay, so their heart is purified of material desires. So therefore, if I also take up sannyas and give up my prescribed duties, my heart will also become purified of material desires. So this is a classic case of misdirected causality. So, I will give you a small joke. It is a joke. I mean, I don't think anyone is so stupid, but definitely, you do see stupidity in terms of misascribed, causality. So, there were two scientists. I mean, this is a joke, so please don't take it very seriously. There were two scientists who were researching on a frog. Okay. So they wanted to understand the frog's response to some stimulus. So they took the frog and one person clapped. As soon as he clapped, the frog jumped. Very, very much, the frog immediately jumped very enthusiastically. Then he clapped again, it jumped. Then what they did, they broke one of the legs of the frog. And then they clapped. it took one or two more claps for the frog to jump. Okay, when they clapped harder, then it jumped. But for a soft clap, it would not jump. Then they broke both the legs, two legs. Then the frog needed much more harder slap. They had to, very louder slap, and only then the frog would jump. Then they broke the third leg. Okay. So then literally, how much ever hard you would clap, it would not move. You had to literally bang the desk, and then the frog would jump. And then finally they broke the fourth leg also. And then however loud they clapped or banged on the desk, the frog would not jump. Okay. So they came to the conclusion that the frog's hearing is impaired because of a damaged leg. The frog hears through its leg. So when the legs were broken, the frog could not hear. That's why it refused to jump. And you needed a harder clap or a louder clap for making the frog to jump. Of course, this is a joke. I mean, no scientists are so bad. Of course, there may be, I don't know. But the point is, this is called as misascribed causality. So concomitance does not necessarily mean causality. I gave another example, I think, last time, right? So someone goes to an IIT campus, and inside the campus, whomever he meets, they seem to be very intelligent. So he comes to the conclusion that if I also come inside IIT campus, I will also become very intelligent. But what? So this is, there is concomitance does not necessarily mean causality. Concomitance means, whomever he would see in the campus, everyone was intelligent. So presence inside the campus and intelligence were concomitant factors. So what he did, he thought that if I also come inside, so he thought coming inside an IIT campus is the cause of becoming more intelligent. So whoever comes inside the IIT campus, he will become more intelligent. So this is misascribed causality, right? So similarly, Arjuna thought all sannyasis have pure hearts. Therefore, if I take up sannyas, or if I take up the Jnana Yoga, my heart will also become purified. So Krishna says, this is not true. This is not proper causality. It is not that all sannyasis have pure heart, but only those whose heart has become purified, they are given sannyas. They become qualified for sannyas. Just like whoever, clearly shows that level of intelligence through the entrance exams, only they are allowed entry into IIT. That is why whomever you are seeing, they are intelligent. It's not that they became intelligent because of coming inside the IIT campus, but because they clearly showed a track record of intelligence and they cracked the exam in which their intelligence was tested. And that is how they got entry into the campus. Similarly, you get entry into the level of sannyas only if you clearly show that level of purity of heart. And that level of purity of heart comes only by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Therefore, for Arjuna to think that by taking sannyas I will become pure is a ridiculous proposal. That is what Krishna is telling here. You are not yet qualified for sannyas. You are not yet qualified for Jnana Yoga. You have to first purify your heart by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Na karmanam anarambam naishkarmyam purushoshnute. Without performing your prescribed duties, you cannot just attain purity of heart. Nacha sannyasanadeva siddhim samadhigacchati. And just by whimsically giving up your prescribed duties, you will not attain perfection. So don't get it wrong. This is the clarification that he is telling here. So therefore, you see, I have given two instructions. And these two instructions are meant for two different people with two different adhikar. You find out what your adhikar is, and accordingly you take the instructions. And in my opinion, you belong, your adhikar is karma yoga only, nishkama karma yoga. So therefore, you should perform your prescribed duties and not be attached to the fruits. This is what here Krishna is telling Arjuna. So he says, this verse explains that without purity of heart, jnana does not arise. By not engaging in the activities recommended in the scriptures, one cannot attain jnana. One with an impure heart cannot attain jnana by renunciation of activities recommended in the scriptures. Right? So, therefore, you cannot give up your prescribed duties because your heart is not yet purified. Only when your heart is purified, you can give up your varnashram prescribed duties. Of course, this instruction is for those who are, this instruction is not for those who are practicing bhakti. This instruction is meant for those who are fit for karma. And those who are on the path to liberation, not those who are on the path to prema by practice of bhakti. Because for on the path of bhakti, nishkama karma yoga does not purify the heart of anarthas. Anartha nivritti happens by practice of bhakti only. Cheto darpana marjanam. Right? It happens by practice of bhakti only. So this instructions that we are going to see in this chapter are primarily meant for those who are qualified for jnana yoga. Nishkama karma yoga. Sorry. Not jnana yoga. Nishkama karma yoga. This is where we paused last week, where Krishna clearly says that, oh, those two instructions were for two different people. They were not for the same people. So, and whether to practice karma, nishkama karma yoga or jnana yoga is not a choice. It is based on adhikar. That is what Krishna is instructing, is indicating to Arjuna here. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add before we move ahead to today's discussion? Anything? Anyone? Okay, let's continue our discussion. Then Krishna says, Nahi kashanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit karyatehi avashak karma sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. Nahi kaschit, no one jatu tishtati akarma krit. No one can remain without doing any activity. Kshanamapi, even for a moment. Of course, this no one refers, it does not refer to soul. Rather, it refers to conditioned soul. Okay. No one can remain without doing any activity, not because he is spirit soul, but because he is conditioned. See what he says. He says, in the next part of the verse, he says, Sarvaha avashaha karma karyate. All are forced to engage in action. Why? Prakriti jair gunaihi. By the gunas arising from prakriti. Okay. So, he says that you think actually you can remain without doing any activity, Arjuna, like a jnana yogi. You think you can stay without performing any activity? He says, not for a moment. Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tishtati akarmakrit. Not even for a moment you can stay without performing any activity. Karyate hi avashah karma. You will be helplessly forced to act by the vasanas which are made of the three modes. Sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. You know, the sattva guni, rajoguni, tamoguni vasanas will push you to perform some activity. You will helplessly perform. Okay. So if you give up your prescribed duties, he says, okay, now let's say that you say that, no, I will become a Gyana Yogi. So you will take up a begging bowl and go to the forest to beg, okay, or you take up begging. And if someone who has food and if he does not give, or you see some injustice performed somewhere because your heart is filled with that Kshatriya vasanas, you will immediately take up your sword and try to kill that person. But because you have already given up your Kshatriya dharma and accepted Bhikshu dharma, as a Bhikshu, if you kill him, it will be a big adharmic activity for you. Okay. So what Krishna is telling here is begging bowl is not meant for you, Arjuna, right now, because your heart is filled with so much of rajoguni, tamoguni, and sattvaguni vasanas that you will be helplessly pushed to act in a particular way. So better perform activities according to your varna, which are prescribed in the scriptures and which are also according to your vasanas. So prescribed duties for a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and Brahmana are according to their vasanas only. Okay. So therefore, they feel very comfortable performing those activities. And because they are performing it according to the guidance of scriptures, purification of heart happens. Right? Otherwise, whimsically also they will engage in similar activities, but because they are whimsically doing it, they will accumulate papa. But if they perform those same activities according to the instructions of the Shastras, then their heart will become purified. Okay. So Krishna says that everyone's heart is filled. Everyone here means every conditioned soul. His heart is filled with vasanas, and those vasanas will anyway push that person to act. So for you, inaction or just like a Jnana Yogi, giving up your prescribed duties is not an option for you at all. That is what here Krishna is telling Arjuna. Nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatu tishtati akarma krit karyate hi avashak karma sarva prakriti jargunaihi. No one should be read as no conditioned soul can remain without doing activity even for a moment. All conditioned souls are forced to engage in action by the gunas arising from prakriti. But this is not meant for a Jnana Yogi, because a Jnana Yogi in his heart is cleansed of all prakriti jair guna. He is cleansed of all vasanas which are made of the three gunas. So therefore, a Jnana Yogi can stay without performing any action. Tani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matpara vashe hi yasyendriyani asya pragya pratishtita. So the astita pragya, a Jnana Yogi, for him, he can completely control his senses and not allow his senses to act, because there is no prakriti jair guna. There is no gunas arising from prakriti. There are no material vasanas in his heart. So this verse is meant for a person who is qualified for karma, not for a person who is qualified for dhyana. So therefore, this should not, many times we think that this refers to the soul, but for the pure soul, where is the prakriti jaya guna? There is no gunas arising from prakriti for a pure soul. This is true only for conditioned souls, right? So therefore, he says that a conditioned soul like you, O Arjuna, cannot remain without performing any action even for a moment, because there is prakriti jaya guna. There is gunas born out of prakriti, which will force him to act in a particular way. So like that, he says. So here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, rather the person of pure heart who gives up scriptural activities becomes engrossed in material actions. A person of impure heart, okay, A person of impure heart ideally should be doing Nishkama Karma Yoga. But what does he do? He gives up scriptural activities, which means he artificially takes up Jnana Yoga. So what happens? Unsustainable. Okay. He will become engrossed in material actions. Okay. That is explained in this verse. But sannyas, renunciation of activities, means a negation of all tendencies for both Vedic and material activities. Does it not? So he says, yeah, sannyas means negation. But because your heart is not ready for sannyas, your heart, which is filled with material vasanas, will forcefully, beyond one's will, one will engage in action anyway, because the heart is not pure. Right. So that's what Krishna is telling here. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions here? Okay, if there is none, we will continue. Then Krishna says, Karmendriyani Sanyamya Yaaste Manasasmaran Indriyartan Vimudatma Mityachara Sa Uchate. He who controlling the action of senses, Karmendriyani Sanyamya Yaha Aste Indriyartan Smaran, but who remains remembering those objects of the senses, Manasa, in his mind, Vimudatma, he is bewildered. Saha Mityacharasa Uchate. He is called a pretender. Okay. So Arjuna may say that, Krishna, look, I will somehow control my senses, don't worry. Let me do sannyas. So ultimately you are telling that I should keep my senses under control, right? I will take responsibility for that. My senses will not run behind the sense objects. I am giving guarantee for that. So give me sannyas. Krishna says, do you think sannyas means the senses don't come in touch with sense objects? Is that sannyas? Arjuna says, yeah. What else? He says, no. Your senses may stay away from sense objects, but if your mind goes towards that, then you are not qualified for sannyas. Karmendriyani Sanyamya Yaas. He is giving more and more finer understanding of sannyas. He says, what is sannyas? Sannyas does not mean there is no Indriya Tripti. Sannyas means there is no Icha for Indriya Tripti. So, you may, while you are begging, you know, from someone's kitchen, you may smell something very, very fragrant, but still you may think, no, I will just take rice and I will cook it myself and put some salt and eat, that's all. But still, when you get that fragrance and if it incites within you some desire to enjoy that, but you may not enjoy. But even if that desire for enjoyment comes, then you are not qualified for sannyas. But a sannyasi who thinks that only if I refrain from engaging my senses in sense object, that is good enough qualification for sannyas. He is mityachara. He is a pretender. Pretender in the sense, he does not want to cheat others, but he is cheating himself. Because of this improper understanding of what is sannyas. That is the problem with this. Mityachari does not mean he wants to cheat others. Mityachari means he who is cheating himself because of a compromised understanding of what sannyas is. So therefore, a person may, therefore, in the Sthitapragya section, when Arjuna asks, Sthitapragyasya kabhasha samadhistasya keshava sthitadirkim prabhasheta kim asita vrajeta kim. Krishna, what are the symptoms of a Sthitapragya? How does he sit? How does he walk? And all that. So Krishna in the very first verse he said, Prajahati yadakaman sarvan partha manogatan. Atmanyev atmanatushta tasya pragya pratishtita. So he says, so that whole Siddha Pragya section, it talks about who is qualified for sannyas actually. So the qualification for sannyas is that prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. Sarvan manogatan kaman prajahati. One who gives up all kinds of desires born out of material vasanas. Which means there is no desires born out of material vasanas. Why? Because there is no material vasanas. Okay. Then what does he satisfy? What is he satisfied with? Atmani eva atmana tushta. He is completely satisfied by meditating on the Atma. And he has no material desires because there is no material vasanas. Tasya pragya pratishtita. He is qualified for jnana yoga or sannyas. So you are having a very wrong understanding of sannyas where you think indriya tripti me me lagunga nahi. I will not engage in sense gratification. So sannyas na? No, no. It's not about not engaging in sense gratification. It is about never getting a desire for sense gratification. He is qualified for sannyas. Do you fall in that category, O Arjuna? That is what Arjuna, that is what Krishna is asking here. So Arjuna may say, so this is Arjuna's argument. Arjuna's argument is, but we see some such sannyasis devoid of actions of the senses with closed eyes. So this is Arjuna's argument. They don't engage. I will also sit and do the same thing. So in response, Krishna says, this verse answers. He who controls the senses of action such as speech or hands, but remains remembering the objects of senses under the pretense of meditating is a cheater. The five senses of action are the hands, feet, voice, and sentential. These are the karmendriyas. Okay. He's a cheater means he is cheating himself. It's not that he has any ulterior motive or anything, but he's cheating himself because of this wrong understanding of what sannyas is. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions before we move on? Yes, Sachi Prantu.
The point here is the sannyasi, so the person is a grihastha who knows his situation that he's not able to control and is trying to practice Krishna consciousness without expecting any results. So he's much better than that sannyasi. That point he's mentioning by Krishna here. He's a much better than the sannyasi whose mind is dwelling. Externally, he only took sannyas. His mind still dwells on the sense objects. So,
okay.
is that person grihastha is better than a sannyasi?
Yeah, first we have to understand here ISKCON or sannyas in bhakti is different from the Vedic sannyas. So, this we have to understand. So, in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the whole concept of sannyas was introduced by, was actually introduced by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur only. So, before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there was no sannyas ashram in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So he introduced this for two purposes. He not only introduced sannyas, but he introduced the Brahmachari ashram also. Otherwise, before it was only two. One is Grihastha and the other is Babaji. Only two. So either you are Grihastha means one who is actually one who is a sadhaka. He's a grihastha. And a grihatyagi or a babaji means one who is at the stage of bhava or prema, who is naturally detached. Due to his practice of bhakti, he has no desire for enjoyment at all in his heart. Because many people were unscrupulously, without qualification, accepting the Babaji vesh, therefore he introduced, there is brahmachari, there is grihastha, there is vanaprastha, there is sannyas, and then there is Babaji. So he created it like that. And also he gave sannyas to his disciples. If you read his Bhakti Siddhanta Vani Vaibhav, in that, if you see, it is very clearly mentioned that he chose generally his disciples who were from Brahminical background and who were well read and who were charismatic speakers and who looked quite charismatic also. To such people, actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave sannyas. He didn't give sannyas to those disciples whose hearts were completely cleansed and all that. So, in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, traditionally, since the time Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur introduced sannyas, it was primarily as a preaching strategy, because sannyasis in the traditional Bengal society or traditional Vedic society were respected. So, therefore, he gave sannyas so that they will hear about Krishna consciousness from such people for that purpose. So, Prabhupada, in one sense, if you see, the whole third chapter of Karma Yoga and all these fifth chapter Karma Yoga and everything, Prabhupada, in one sense, does not, little bit here and there, he actually speaks about Nishkama Karma Yoga, but mostly he speaks about Bhakti Yoga only. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada is criticized for that. But in reality, if you see, Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga in today's day and age is impossible to practice. It is very difficult to practice. Because first thing, there is no pure Varna. No one is practicing any pure samskaras. There is no pure Varna. And then two people uniting, it may not be an anulom marriage at all. Most people, right? Most people of this world, whether it is anulom marriage or not, no. And we do not know. There is no samskaras. No one knows what Varna is. And even if they know, no one has studied the Dharma Shastras. And even if they have studied, no one practices them. And there are no pure ingredients. And it is not so scrutinizingly practiced, because Karma Yoga's rules are very, very scrutinizing. So therefore, if someone thinks practicing Bhakti Yoga is difficult, then practicing Karma Yoga is actually impossible in this age. So what is the need for a very very systematic presentation of Karma Yoga? So Prabhupada, in one sense, speaks about Bhakti Yoga also in that chapter, because of practical reasons. Right. So therefore, but Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and the other acharyas in our parampara, they stick to description of Nishkama Karma Yoga only. So in this section, of course, the next verse will talk about that. Krishna is indicating a sannyasi. It is a comparison between a Jnana Yogi sannyasi and a Karma Yogi Grihastha. Okay. And it is not talking about a person practicing Krishna consciousness, because he has not gotten into bhakti till now. There is the comparison is between Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga only. It's not talking about Bhakti Yoga in this chapter yet. So he is telling better is a practitioner of Nishkama Karma Yoga, because by that his heart will become purified. But an immature or unqualified person who takes up to sannyas will fall down. Actually, fall. There is no question of falling down. He is already fallen, actually. Because sannyas cannot purify the heart. Sannyas cannot purify the heart. So sannyas is actually a stage which is to be followed by a person whose heart is already purified. Sannyas cannot purify the heart. Only Nishkama Karma Yoga can purify the heart. So therefore, as you rightly said, what he is telling here is better than a sannyasi with an impure heart is a grihastha with an impure heart who is properly following his varnashram duties. Because he has prematurely taken up to sannyas. At what stage you got disconnected to?
Just 1 minute, Proji, 1 minute back.
Yeah, so that's what I'm telling. In this chapter, yeah, talking about the difference between not a Krishna conscious grihastha and a cheating sannyasi. Rather, the comparison is between a properly practicing Nishkama Karma Yogi Grihastha and a person who by mistake has taken premature sannyas and given up his prescribed duties. So this is the comparison between the comparison is between the two, because sannyas is incapable of purifying. Sannyas cannot purify the heart. Only Nishkama Karma Yoga can purify the heart. But after the heart is purified, on the platform of sannyas, one is ready to just focus on Brahman, or one is ready to focus on the soul within. Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta. So that is what he is telling here. So you cannot, if someone thinks just refraining from sense gratification is a qualification for sannyas, he is deluded. That's what here Krishna is telling. Is that okay, bro?
Yes, bro. Yes. Thank you, bro.
Anything else anyone would like to share as Pat? Okay. If there is none, then we will continue our discussion. Next verse, Krishna says, Yastu Indriyani Manasa Niyamyarabhate Arjuna Karmendriyaihi Karmayogam Asaktaha Sa Vishishyate. Yastu, but he who asaktaha, free from attachment, Indriyani Manasa Niyamya, one who controls the senses by the mind, Karmendriyaihi Karmayogam Arabhate. How does he control the senses by the mind? By regulating them. How does he regulate the senses? By engaging them in karma yoga. Karmendriyaihi karmayogam arabhate. When the person starts practicing, rather than refraining from engagement in prescribed duties, if he actually starts engaging his senses in scriptural injunctions, prescribed duties according to the scriptures, saha vishishyate, he is superior. So basically this verse says, qualified karma yogi is better than immature. Sorry, I won't say immature, is unqualified Jnana Yogi. Okay, like that. So he says, in contrast to this, the householder and not the sannyasi who performs scriptural actions, karma yogam, without longing for the fruits of actions, asakta, which means one who practices nishkama karma yoga is better. Okay. Ramanujacharya says in this regard that he is superior to the person practicing jnana because of the impossibility of going astray by this method. Okay. So, okay. Anyway, we will discuss what this Ramanujacharya statement is in one of the later verses, you know. Because let us say, okay, I will talk about it right now. He says that even if you think your heart is purified, he says, continue performing your prescribed duties for a while, at least for a long time. Why? Because he says, if you think your heart is purified, you take up to sannyas. You take up the sannyas and give up your prescribed duties. And later, things are going on well. And later, after a few months or few years, you think, oh, actually, I made a mistake. My heart was not completely purified. There were some residual desires. So, which I thought they were gone, but they were not gone. So, still my heart is pure, has some impurities. So, he is dead. What will he do? Because sannyas cannot purify his heart. Okay. And for a sannyasi to give up his sannyas and take up to grihastha life again to practice nishkama karma yoga is socially unacceptable. So the person is stuck up. His sannyas, he will not progress at all on the platform of sannyas. So we are talking about, you know, the traditional Vedic sannyas. Okay. So he will not progress at all on the platform of sannyas. And at the same time, for him to give up sannyas and practice grihastha ashram again is socially unacceptable completely. So what is the solution? So therefore, Ramanujacharya says in this regard that he is superior to the person practicing jnana because of the impossibility of going astray by this method. Because there is, suddenly you think your heart is purified. So, and if you, but still if you continue to perform your Nishkam Karma Yoga practices, there is nothing wrong in it. And after a few months or years, you realize that actually my heart was not completely purified. Still no problem because you have not given up your Varnashram prescribed duties. Like that, he says here. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions before we move ahead? Okay, let's continue then. Shyamlal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
So, is it that the individual himself decides that my anarthas are purified, or somebody like normally a university gives you a degree, MBBS mm-hmm. degree, whatever degree. Mm-hmm. So he knows that, okay, I'm qualified as a doctor. Mm-hmm. So how does an individual know that, okay, I'm now purified of my anarthas? Is it just internal interrogation, or is it that he has to inquire from seniors, or
definitely Shastras and Guru are very critical aspects there, but the litmus test here is actually the Vanaprastha Ashram. So from Grihastha, one goes to Vanaprastha before taking up sannyas. So the litmus test is Vanaprastha Ashram. And if you see the description of Vanaprastha Ashram, even, you know, it is very limitedly described in Bhagavatam and other such scriptures, because primarily they focus on bhakti. But if you see the Dharma Shastras, but even in Bhagavatam descriptions of Vanaprastha, you see the one word which actually describes Vanaprastha Ashram is austerity. Severe austerity. So, why Vanaprastha Ashram has such severe austerities because if the heart is pure, purified of all material vasanas, then one can tolerate all the austerities, because there is no material attachment. The more one is materially attached, the more difficult will it be for him to tolerate austere situations. So, Vanaprastha Ashram is actually the litmus test for one to understand how much I am sannyas material or not. So, typically, this we are talking about again and again, I am repeating this. This is for typical Vedic sannyas. For one who transcends from Sakama Karma to Nishkama Karma to Jnana Yoga to liberation, on that path we are talking about. Not for a devotee. But so the litmus test is actually the Vanaprastha Ashram, where such severe austerities he has to do. And if he is not able to take it, it means he still has material attachments, which means he is not yet qualified for sannyas. So the Vanaprastha Ashram is the test to decide whether the person is ready for sannyas or not. And of course, he is also guided by the Shastras and a guru. Like that. Is that
so, relevant? So Prabhuji, you make a correlation with, of course, you said it's not applicable to bhakti, but if you make a correlation to bhakti, does it mean that the more the person is austere, the more his vasanas are clearing, even in bhakti?
It can because be a symptom.
By becoming more and more austere, you may become hard-hearted. I mean, where do we...
No. We are not talking about for a devotee also. Virakti is a natural byproduct of his practice of bhakti. He does not separately endeavor for detachment, but as and when he progresses in bhakti and becomes attached to Krishna, naturally material detachment becomes a natural byproduct for such a person. So that kind of detachment seen in a devotee is not in his staying away from the sense objects, but in utilizing those sense objects for Krishna's pleasure. So that is Yukta Vairagya. So Vairagya is there, but it is not Shushka Vairagya, it is Yukta Vairagya. And that Yukta Vairagya, where you are willing to sacrifice something for Krishna's pleasure, softens your heart. So the manifestation of Vairagya for in a Jnana Yogi and in a Bhakti Yogi, it's quite different. Even though the Vairagya may be there in a Bhakti Yogi, but he may not be seen to externally stay away from those objects, but he may actually utilize them for Krishna's service. So that way, it protects him from becoming hard-hearted. Like that.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Haribo.
Thank you. Anything else anyone would like to share as add on this topic? Okay. So now, yes, Sachi Pranto.
Haribo Prabhu, Dandapanam Prabhu. Just to understand Samlal Prabhu's answer, you meant to say that the Bhakti Yoga practitioner who is who is practicing Krishna consciousness, slowly his attachment towards Krishna increases, and naturally there is a detachment for sense gratification. Am I right?
Correct.
So that means he is not giving up artificially. And he's, because of his attachment towards Krishna, natural detachment comes in his heart.
Correct. Okay. So then, now that he has described what is the qualification for karma, what is the qualification for jnana, now this is direct instruction to Arjuna now. This is direct instruction to Arjuna. Krishna is giving. What does he say? Niyatam kuru karmatvam karma jayo hi akarmanaha sharira yatra pichate na prasidhyeda karmanaha. So he says, tvam kuru niyatam karma. You should perform your prescribed duties, Arjuna. Kyun? Kyunki aapka jo hriday hai na, mein abhi bhi kalmash hai. Your heart is not yet purified. Okay. So, tvam kuru niyatam karma. You perform your daily prescribed duties. Karma jayo hi akarmanah. This is better than not acting. Okay. Why? Because you are not qualified for non-action. You are not yet qualified for non-action. So don't give it up. Nate prasidhyet sharira yatra api. You cannot even maintain your body akarmanaha by non-action. Right? You cannot even maintain your body by non-action. So you should perform your action. So here, Shri Lakshmana Jagadagur writes, therefore you should engage in daily obligatory activities such as Sandhya Vandanam. This is Niyatam Karma. This is better than renunciation of actions, which is Karma Sannyas. By renunciation of all actions, you will not even be able to maintain your body. So you should, even actually Jnana Yogis actually do not give up those activities for maintaining their body. Sannyas, sannyas allows you to perform actions for maintenance of your body. So sannyasis are not necessarily expected to give up even those actions for bodily maintenance. Like that. Any quick comments, discussion points, anything anyone would like to share, ask. Okay. So, then he says, yajñārtāt karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhanah tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sangas samachara. Then he explains how you should perform Nishkama Karma Yoga so that you do not get bound. How should you perform Nishkama Karma Yoga so that you do not get bound? So he says, Yajyartat Karmano Anyatra. Without performing actions for the purpose of sacrifice, which means every Nishkama Karma Yogi is expected to perform particular yajñas or sacrifices according to his varna. So without performing the actions for the purpose of sacrifice, ayam lokah karma bandhanah. The people of this world are bound by their actions. So which means without performing actions which are meant for your, which are according to your varna and ashrama, if you whimsically perform actions, you will be bound to this material world. O Kaunteya, O Sanakunti, tadartam karma samachara. Perform actions for that purpose and mukta sangha, and you become free from the attachment to results. Okay. So basically he is telling, therefore don't perform whimsical actions, perform your prescribed duties. So Shri Vishnu Jagadagur says, the Smriti scriptures say that one is bound by actions. Karmana badyate jantuhu. So this is Arjuna's argument. So Arjuna's argument is that Don't you know? But Krishna, clearly the Shastras say, Karmana Badhyate Jantu. That, you know, that one is bound by actions. Therefore, I will become bound by performing actions. Why you are asking me to perform actions? Karmanyeva Adhikaraste, why you are asking me to perform actions? Because the Shastras say that one becomes bound by actions. So I will also become bound by actions. So why you are asking me to perform actions? So, Krishna's answer to this question is that, no, action offered to the Supreme Lord does not bind one. If you perform your action and offer the fruits to the Supreme Lord, that will not bind. That is explained in this verse. Yajñārthāt karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. He says, Dharma or scriptural duties offered to Vishnu without personal desire is called yajna. Persons become bound by karma by any other actions for any other purpose. So not only should you perform your yajna, but you should also offer the fruits to yajna purusha. Then you will not get bound. Therefore, you should perform actions. Karma samachara for accomplishing such duties. Tadartam karma kaunteya. Mukta Sangha Samachara. So he says, so this is Arjuna's next question. Arjuna's so Arjuna is asking, oh, but even if I perform actions which are offered to Vishnu, if I perform them with desires, then I will still become bound. Right? So, here he says, one should become devoid of the desire sense. Yes, because a Sakama karma yogi becomes bound to this material world if he does not become a Nishkama karma yogi. So therefore, you may perform some actions for Vishnu, but the fruits also have to be offered to Vishnu. You cannot be attached to the fruits. Then you will become bound. Thus, the Lord spoke to Uddhava in the 11th canto. Swadharmasto yajan yajnyer anashi kama Uddhava nayati swarga narakau yadyanyanna samachare. O Uddhava, a person who is situated in his prescribed duty, properly worshipping by Vedic sacrifices, but not desiring the results, which means he is a Nishkama Karma Yogi, okay, will not go to the heavenly planets, because heavenly planets is for spending your pious karma. For such people will not get any pious karma. Similarly, by not performing forbidden activities, yadi anyan na samacharet na yati narakau, he will not go to hell. So Nishkama Karma Yogi, because he is not attached to the fruits of his activities, by performing his Nishkama Karma Yoga, by performing his Varnashram duties, he will not go to heaven. Whereas a Sakama Karma Yogi, by performing the same Varnashram prescribed duties, he will go to heaven. Okay. Like that, he says. Asmin loke vartamanah swadharmasto anaga shuchihi. Jnanam vishuddham apnoti madbhaktim va yadrichaya. But one who is situated in his prescribed duty, free from sinful activities and cleansed of material contamination. You see? So, which means, anartha nivritti is accomplished by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. That is why he says, cleansed of material contamination, in this very life, obtains transcendental knowledge. Jnanam vishuddham apnoti, which means he becomes qualified for Jnana Yoga. Or mad bhaktim va yadrichaya. Or if he is fortunate enough to come in touch with devotees, then he may attain bhakti also. Like that. So he says, so that is why he says that Oh, Arjuna, how should you perform Nishkama Karma Yoga so that you are not bound? So it is not just necessary to be detached from the fruits, but you should offer those fruits to Krishna also. Yajyartat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sangas samachara. Like that. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions? Anything anyone would like to share as that? Yes, Sachi Pranko.
Prabhuji, Dandat Pranam Prabhuji. The point is, when Arjuna, someone is practicing, someone is serving Krishna with the desire, is better than not doing service or renouncing that work. Is that mean to, like Arjuna, suppose Arjuna knows that yes, by doing this activity of maybe a fire, the fight with the opposition, he knows that yes, he's going to get a kingdom back. Mm-hmm. So, although he is not desiring for that, mm-hmm. but he's going to get result. So, if he desires, someone has a desire and still is performing that activity, mm-hmm. is much better than giving up that activity. Is that meaning of Arjuna is saying that Krishna wanted to say that is that person is much better who simply gives up the activity. Rather, he should perform that activity even if he has that desire.
Yeah, matlab, I mean, I am still trying to understand your question properly. What are the two people? Person one has.
I suppose Arjuna, in case of Arjuna, if you say Arjuna as a person, if he gives up the fight, you know, uh-huh. rather uh-huh. than he should still fight, because Krishna is saying that person is better who simply gives up the fight just for the sake of giving up, rather person who still fight with the desire.
Yeah. I mean, if a person has absolutely no desire, his heart is purified of desires, then he need not fight.
Correct.
But if his heart still has desires,
he fights. Sorry.
Yeah, he should fight. That's what he says. Yeah. Yeah.
So the person who gives up that fight is simply for the reason that he will get attached to the karma bandhana is considered to be lower than person who fight with even that desire.
Correct. So a sakama karma yogi who may want to enjoy the fruits of whatever he does is better than a sannyasi who prematurely gives up his prescribed duties and takes up sannyas.
Okay,
without his heart become purified. Yeah, correct.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Anything else before we wind up for the day? Okay, so thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. So we will again meet next Friday. Okay, yes, Sachi Pranpu.
There is some message in the chat box, Prabhuji.
Oh, okay, chat box. There is a... What exactly is the purifying agent from conditional life? Is it to follow scriptures? Yes. Essentially, not just following scriptures, but following scriptures according to one's qualification. So if one is qualified for karma, one should accept the karma shastras and follow it. And if one is qualified for bhakti, one should accept the bhakti shastras and follow it. So following scriptures will not purify the heart, but one should follow those scriptures for which one is qualified. So that will purify the heart. That's what he's saying. Okay,
Thank you.
I think we'll pause here and we will again meet next Friday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Srila Balram Shakti Prabhu ki jai.